A natural med isn't just a substance you take. It is a lifestyle that one lives to amplify their health. We don't always choose how long we will be on this planet, but we can take action on the quality of life that we wish to enjoy.
The Natural Med Podcast interviews different professionals and experts who look at improving the quality of health so they can live a more fulfilling life. Whether that be physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, or spiritually, we discover the secrets to their own journey and the small steps individuals can take on a daily basis to improve the quality of their life. Come with me as we travel, research, and discover how we can make incremental changes on a daily basis to live a more fulfilled and balanced life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Natural Med Podcast. I'm Nicole, and I'm here with Josh, and we have a special guest here today. This is Jessica Winnie. She's a behavioral analyst. Welcome, Jessica, to the show.
Hey, how are you?
How's it going?
It's good. It's Friday.
Yeah, so how's your week going and everything?
A little crazy, but it's good.
A little crazy, but good. That's yes. Good. So Jessica's going to introduce herself and tell us about who you are and what you do and everything.
Perfect. I'm a board-certified behavior analyst at a state support living center in Texas. I work primarily with adults with disabilities. And I also have done side projects of, organization of companies, process mapping, performance improvement, stuff like that. But I reached out to Nicole because I know that she loves health and wellness, as do I. Yeah. But I was like, I think I'm going to dive into, as a behavior analyst, how I ended up losing 100 pounds and how I went about it and some of my concerns in the Instagram society we live in with weight loss and with health and wellness. So that's a little bit about me. I call myself a non-traditional BCBA because I don't do discrete trial ABA. I more do, holistic approach, goal setting, all that jazz. So that's a little bit about me.
What's ABA? I'm lost. I don't know.
That's applied behavior analysis. Okay. So that's like, it's what our field's known for. It's typically like early intervention done with children with autism. But my focus primarily has been either adults with disabilities or in education or in Denton. I was at a shop and I did performance improvement projects. And then my thesis was on how to give corrective feedback. So kind of taken a, we were just saying, backroads style yeah. to my field, which has been fun, but also very challenging. And then, of course, I have this huge emphasis on health and wellness because I exercise and try to eat right, mostly, So, that's what ABA is.
Well, maybe you can give me some tips on, what'd you say, how to give corrective
feedback.
Yeah, that doesn't lead to us fighting.
To marital conflicts or everything. Yeah.
So what my research suggested was it's all about setting the person up for success. So often we do the hopefully this is like PG-13. We do the bullshit sandwich. It's like, hey, Josh, that's thanks for unloading the dishwasher. But you forgot to pick up the kids from school, and you forgot to put the clothes in the laundry. Man, but you're overall really great husband. That's what we call the bullshit sandwich. It's a positive with a negative with a positive. Typically, people just focus in on the negative, and they can't process the positive at all. But it's very endorsed. Same with 360 feedback. That's done a lot. It's like, let's have a bunch of people review your performance unobjectively after your performance. Is that effective? No, because it doesn't change behavior, period. Neither do. So my research suggested I basically looked at, when do you time corrective feedback? Do you time it based on prior performance right before they're going to do a similar performance? Or do you give it to them afterwards without them getting a chance to practice? What I found is, give the person success, give them an opportunity to practice before, you know, give them it to them before, and that way they feel successful. And what we found in my research is the more successful learners were, the better they felt. And their preference was to get feedback before, so that way they could practice. And it was just on, like, one performance, right? It wasn't on, like, a bunch of different things. So that's
interesting. So you drill down, let's say, let's say you're listening to someone's sales pitch, mm-hmm. and they just muck it up.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to say, you don't want to come in and say, you did this wrong. You just like, hey, let's start on your opening. Your opening could have been better. Mm-hmm. And like, you know.
And the key thing is you wouldn't want to do it afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Because you'd want to say, hey, theoretically what you do is you would tell them probably what they did right, if they did anything right after the performance. And then you'd figure out, when are they going to do this again? And then just say, hey, let's touch base to finite some details.
So not you don't even tell them, hey, this is what you did wrong. You just said, hey, this is a good way to do an opening. Why don't we practice this opening in the future or whatever? Like,
no, you wouldn't even correct it in the moment.
No, I'm saying no correcting.
Yes,
say, hey, let's look at stronger openings and let's practice this stronger opening. But not like right after their bad performance. You just like have a practice set up for them to.
Yeah, I would probably be careful how I phrase it, because you don't want to make them anxious about what you just said. So you would probably say, hey, like, I felt like good job doing XYZ. Like, if you were able to find anything they did right during the performance, which sometimes is really hard to do. But even if it was, you said hi to the audience, like something, and then just say, hey, let's have a circle back. You have another pitch, you know, Monday morning. I just want, you know, you to give a chance to practice and, like, you know, let's refine some things, but overall, you know, great job. So it's kind of about how you say it and the nuances about how you say it, because you don't want to make the person feel like what they just did was a failure. So it's kind of about the nuances. And then right before they were going to do another pitch, you'd have them come in and just say, hey, like, let's work on a stronger opening. Like, okay, let's practice. And as soon as they practice, like, let them go into the real environment. If they nail it, then you say, hey, that was a great opening. You know, you did X, Y, Z correct. And then, like, they still have some other, you know, things to work on. You could say, hey, let's do this. And I'm all up for transparency. You could even, at the beginning, be like, we're going to, like, go through this together because I care about you as a boss. And we're going to get this going. But it's going to be a process because I want you to be successful. And so that way they know what's happening. Because I think us as bosses, like, don't really let the learner know what's happening. So I try to tell all my staff what's going on as much as I can. Sometimes I can't disclose some things due to X, Y, or Z. But if I can disclose it, I'll be like, this is what we're doing. Like, and see what they think. Like, do you like this process? Do you want a different process? Because everyone's different.
It seems like a very long process, but probably it's effective if you put in the time. But
I've had people argue that with me, and actually I compared the two conditions I did in my research, and actually giving corrective feedback before was faster. So a lot of people argue with me that it's going to take longer. It doesn't. And if you think about it, you're going to spend less time at the end. So at the end, you're always correcting. They're never improving. Like, you're spending all that time, like, retraining, re-going in. So you spend more time at the beginning rather than the end. And you both feel better and you're both more successful. And like I said, my thesis shows it's quicker.
Yeah. Josh is taking notes because he's a supervisor. He's like,
yes.
What can
yes,
I do?
Yes, yeah. It's tricky. It's tricky. But
yeah. What inspired you to get into behavior analysis? I can't talk this morning.
Kind of like by accident. Mm-hmm. I think I just kind of fell into it. We kind of were dealing with some family issues, so I didn't have the best grades in school. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do education, but I didn't have the grades for it. So I wanted to be a teacher. Yeah. And someone told me behavior analysis, and I fell in love. I went to the University of Kansas, and then I decided to get my master's. And so here I am.
That's awesome.
I don't know what inspired me to do non-traditional. It just kind of has happened. But yeah, I just kind of fell into the field.
Yeah. That's cool. And so you work with disabled individuals, mm-hmm. and then you also coach individuals too?
In the past I have. Currently mm-hmm. I don't. Okay. But in the past I've either coached companies or, you know, given a friend, been like, hey, like, this is what you could do differently, yeah. you know, sort of thing. But it's all been through school or unofficially. Yeah. But I very much into goal setting and people. You know, I believe we all deserve the best. I think some of us, you know, one of my pet peeves is people all have different strengths and weaknesses and privilege mm-hmm. in America. And so our goal crushing is going to look differently, you know, depending on if we're a mom, you know, like, you're a mom, I'm not a mom. Our, you know, how we crush our goals is going to be different, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
You know, you're female, you're male, it's going to look different, you mm-hmm. know? And that's not bad. It's just kind of understanding. I think that's where behavior analysis comes in for me, is kind of understanding that it's not a standard procedure for everyone. It's all mm-hmm. about individualizations, and kind of going back to the feedback. It's all mm-hmm. about individualization, mm-hmm. which takes more time. But I think it's worth it. And sometimes it really doesn't take a lot of, you think it's going to, but it doesn't.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, it's good to see that individual approach, because everybody is different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm a nurse, and all my patients are different. They
yeah.
have different backgrounds.
Yeah.
There's different needs. As a mom, I have two kids, but they're different. You know, they have different needs
yeah.
and everything.
Uh-huh.
So it's good to look at that, you know, the individual person and everything.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's all about, like, individuals. And I think, you know, so often in society we are like, here are procedures, or here's how to lose weight quickly,
yeah.
or here's
and
how
it's
to...
like this, like, rigid
mm-hmm.
outline, and it's
mm-hmm.
like, not everybody is gonna, like, fit into that outline and everything.
Yeah. Like, I discovered a long time ago, my body's not designed to do HIIT.
Yeah.
Like, it's not designed to do keto. It's I can't.
Yeah.
Like, it's not my preferences. It doesn't come easily to me, so why am I fighting to do that? Like,
and,
I hate it.
And you were telling me about your own health journey and everything, mm-hmm. and how being a behavior analyst
yes.
Fits into that and everything, and that's how it helped you. So
mm-hmm.
share with us about that journey and everything.
I think whenever we do behavior change, it's important to have a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it was like, well, you're fat, you need to lose weight. Well, that's not going to get me up in the morning and make me, you know, go work out. Or,
yeah.
you know, Instagram showed me this great workout. It's
yeah.
like, and then you end up hating it. I
yeah.
remember meal prepping for like 9 hours and then throwing everything away.
Yeah.
So you don't want that. We've all been there where
yeah.
we're like, this can be great, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
So for me, it was finally, before I turned 30, I was like, you either cut your shit out or just accept that, like, plus size is fine, knew what you're doing is fine. But I just was like, you know, it's now or never for me. And I kind of just, I was actually in my thesis, finishing my thesis in grad school when I started, and I just started with eating right, because I was in the final stages of defending,
mm-hmm.
and so my nights were studying or preparing for my documents or practicing my thesis presentation, so
mm-hmm.
I didn't have time to work out, so
yeah.
I only really had time to, like, start messing with my meals, eating a little bit healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first hit 25 pounds and being, like, so excited that I lost 25 pounds.
Yeah.
And it kind of snowballed for me. It just
yeah.
kept on losing. And I think it's just all about breaking it down and going back into, like, it takes time and
yeah.
kind of doing one thing at a time. And even recently, I was laughing at myself. I do Weight Watchers, and this morning I was laughing at myself in the meeting because I think we are into quick fixes or into all or nothing. And
mm-hmm.
I find myself guilty of it. you know, I didn't lose 100 pounds overnight, but like in my head, sometimes I get like, oh, I have to do X, Y, Z perfectly. Like for me, I'm not as good at tracking food.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I have to track the entire day. But I was laughing at myself because I had done a challenge for the past 2 weeks. The first week, I was like, just track breakfast. That's it. Just write down. Like,
start with those baby steps.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then it was like, okay, like now that you have breakfast. And the important thing is you don't want to add too much at once, especially like if I trash tracking breakfast all week, I'd figure out what can I do to make it easier. Do I need to pick a different goal? You know, kind of going back, never feeling like a failure because you're not. Mm-hmm. And my professor's favorite quote is like, my procedure didn't work. It's like, no, your procedure always works. The important part is going back and refining and saying, mm-hmm. you know what, like that was too hard. I need to just track breakfast once a week, or maybe yeah. let's start with dinner. But I actually ended up doing breakfast 1 week and then doing breakfast and lunch. So maybe next week I'll do dinner too. But it's kind of just, you know, and I just laugh at myself because it was like in my head, I was like, I have to track the whole day. I mean, I might as well. But it was just nice to just, you know, lower that standard on myself, not yeah. be as hard on myself. Like, probably could have tracked all day, but I was just like, you know what? Just do these things. Mm-hmm. It'll be all right.
Well, because it's a lifestyle change, too. Whenever mm-hmm. you start, like, eating healthy and, you know, maybe even exercising mm-hmm. or, you know, doing things like that, like taking care of your mental health, it's like little baby steps you have mm-hmm. to take because you mm-hmm. want it to be like a lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be this abrupt, like, oh my gosh, like right. I just can't stand this, like physically mm-hmm. and mentally. And then you just get burnt out.
Yeah, exactly.
And everything. So that's smart. That's super smart to take those little baby steps and everything.
And I think like, yeah, and I think the baby steps are important. And what, you know, our field, we call it reinforcing. What do you find reinforcing? Like we were saying that you spin. Mm-hmm. I do like spinning. I've done spinning before. It doesn't quite work out for me right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give myself this pressure to spin. Mm-hmm. Also, hit. I don't like to run. I don't
it's
like
a little
to,
bit too much.
It's too much for me, but I do Zumba, lifting, and step.
Yeah.
Like, that's more things I like to do. So I think sometimes, like, you read an article, like, oh, like, I tried boxing, and you're like, I'm going to try it. And it's like, you end up hating it. So I think it's important yeah. to figure out what works for you. What are you going to enjoy? Like, stop mm-hmm. forcing yourself to enjoy something that you're not, like you said, you're going to burn out on. Like,
yeah.
that doesn't make sense, but yet we do it to ourselves.
And there's so many ways, like, you can, like, get healthy. Like,
yeah.
And, I mean, obviously you want to eat good, clean mm-hmm. food, good whole food.
Yeah.
But not everybody is going to want to eat, like, you know, some people think eating healthy is eating like red meats and mm-hmm. you know vegetables and just mm-hmm. like that. Well, that's not everybody, and yeah. maybe that's healthy for one person, mm-hmm. but then maybe another person mm-hmm. is like healthier being like a vegetarian
right,
or something,
exactly.
and maybe adding some fish into it, or
yeah.
you know, maybe somebody like their healthy is like eating more fruits. Like mm-hmm. you know, there's different types of healthy.
Oh yeah, and I think you know, I will as a behavior analyst, I always say qualifier. Talk to your doctor, because I'm not a doctor.
Oh, yes, of course.
And you're a nurse.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. Talk to your doctor.
Full disclaimer.
But, yeah, I think you're so right. Like, there's different definitions of healthy, and mm-hmm. I think it also goes into what your preference is, what are you going to be successful for,
yeah.
and what can you feasibly do? It goes mm-hmm. back into, like, our lives look differently. Like,
yeah.
I don't have the capacity, like, energy-wise, to cook dinner every night. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I don't have time. I'm working yeah. out. Working full time, doing other things, I don't have time. So for me, meal prepping on the weekend and having a few like short order cook meals, like
yeah.
where I just have that microwave or quick stir fry available mm-hmm. for me, works for me. You know, some people can juice and smoothie every day.
And they have like, a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah, like I messaged someone on Instagram. She like makes cute like leaves for her kids for lunchbox. I'm like, you go, girl. Like, I'm not going to even pretend like I'm going to try that because I'm not. Because
that's a lot.
It's too much for me. And, you know, for me, I'm like, you know, I think my life has taught me, like, I'm never going to, like, say what you should do, what diet you should do, what behavior programs you should do. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to, unless you're my client, but, like, I'm going to say, like, hey, like, you know, You have to determine your own goals. You have to tell me your preferences. I'm not here to tell you that. I'm here to help you create baby steps. I'm here to help you refine your procedures. I'm here to help you find out what you like so you can build a healthy lifestyle, because otherwise you ain't going to do it, you know? So you're going to, like you said, burn out.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, they're definitely, you know, I've seen so many people like just, oh, I'm all on board. I've cleaned out my pantry. You know, I went to Whole Foods and,
yeah.
And then they just get burnt out because they're like, oh, this is a lot, you know? And I mean, another thing too is, and I've talked to different nutrition coaches about it, is like your environment, who you're around and everything too. Because if you're a mom and you have a bunch of kids and they all, you know, have like the little goldfish they eat and they're, you know, eating the little frosted animal crackers and you're like, oh, that's temptation right there.
Right,
so, you know,
right.
It's hard. It's
exactly,
hard
exactly.
with the environment and everything too. So
yeah, there's so many different factors. And I think online, you know, kind of going back to the feedback, you thinking it'll take longer, and same with the lifestyle. Like, what I did and what I'm telling people to do is, does sometimes take time, but really, not really. Because how many times, we were even saying Weight Watchers, how many times have we lost the weight and gained it back?
Yeah.
We all have. How many times have we done a quick healthy fix and it not work? Like you said, looking at the pantry, I went to Whole Foods, spent all this money, and I'm like, forget it. You know, I wasted all that money. I don't care. I've been there. I meal prepped for like...
Like that green powdery stuff. I thought it would be good, and it tastes like dirt.
Yeah, it's so nasty. I'm not doing it. And it's like, we just wasted time and money. You know, if we would really, you know, realize like the baby steps and the working with ourselves might feel like it takes more time, but there's less failure involved and less redoing, because it's all about a journey of yourself and discovering yourself and what's really going to work, because you won't catch me at Whole Foods. It's too expensive.
It is very expensive. It is. I like, I'm more of the Sprouts person.
Yeah.
I think their price is a little bit better.
Yeah. Sprouts is a little more affordable. A
little bit better.
Yeah.
So what would you say is like a common misconception with, you know, like behavior analysts and everything, and just like, I don't know, like what's something like people think going in to it and changing the way they think? And it, you're like, no, it's completely different.
I get a lot of, like, are you analyzing me right now? A lot of people think I'm going to
I think you're judgmental.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're
you're
like,
judging
are you analyzing me right now? Do you work for the CIA? Because there's all those shows with the behavior analysis unit.
Yeah.
And it's not that. I think that's a huge misconception. I also think a misconception in my field and outside the field, kind of like going back into the what is ABA, we're largely known for early intervention. And it's been a blessing and a curse to our field. That's a whole nother topic. But it's been a blessing and a curse to do that. But I will say that it kind of has made what we do a little rigid. You know, if you want to be a behavior analyst, you typically go to into early intervention. So I think another misconception is behavior is behavior. I can apply the principles. I've worked in education. I've worked in the autism center. I've worked at an automobile shop. I've done a thesis on feedback. You know, I've worked with adults with disabilities. Like, we're behaving right now talking. So it's a universal principle. So I think a big misconception is, like, when it comes to, like, job opportunities or society or hard sell, because they think it's going to take more time. And two, they don't, we're early field, so they don't know necessarily what we do and that the science is across everything, because behavior is everything. We behave all day. So really we have a room. You know, you're a nurse. Like, I've seen nurse manager roles that I've been interested in. I'm like, I can do X, Y, Z. But I'm not a nurse, and they want a nurse. But I'm like, I could train nurses, and they don't. I think a misconception is, and that happened at the shop, just because I can't change oil or draw blood or prescribe medication doesn't mean that I don't know how to train you how to do that effectively, rather than having someone that doesn't know how to train but knows X, Y, or Z, and then you're in a bad training situation.
Yeah.
So that's... There's a lot of misconceptions, but those are ones that, like, stand out to me.
Yeah, and you do see that, like, people who promote, like, they were a nurse, and then now they're you know, a manager or a director, mm-hmm. and they're a great clinician, they're a great nurse, mm-hmm. but like their management and leadership skills maybe mm-hmm. aren't like the best, or there's some improving to do and yeah. everything. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, you see that in any industry, yeah. probably your industry too.
Yeah, yeah. I think everything. The term is like promote until you suck, you know, like, so, you know, yeah. that's where I'd love the field to go is to even to train managers, be like, I know nothing about this nursing stuff, but like, yeah. I can train you to lead, you know,
yeah.
sort of deal.
Be a good leader and everything.
Yeah, because that's really important, you know, especially some of the questions you ask. Like, people are bosses, but they don't even think about that stuff. Mm-hmm. They just do it.
So what's one tip you would give somebody, an individual, like a little tip or trick that they could do on a daily basis to improve the quality of their health, maybe kind of get their mind right with mm-hmm. their goals and they mm-hmm. want to live healthy and eat healthier mm-hmm. and be a little bit more active? Like, what's some little tip you can give them?
I would say, like, eat, try, like, if it's like exercise, just try something new, like, especially if you haven't found something you like, mm-hmm. just try, you know, a few different things to find a physical activity that you enjoy mm-hmm. and that, you know, works with your schedule, you know, and don't put so much pressure on yourself. So, you know, I've had great success. Like, even if I hated a class, like, at least I tried it. So just yeah. trying a class and being like, you know, like, I actually like this, or this time doesn't work for me. It makes me too stressed when I get home, you know, like, you know, so, and there's always a payoff. I prefer early morning classes, but
yeah,
no one's teaching Zumba at 5 a.m., so I had to adjust my schedule, but it was worth it for me. So kind mm-hmm. of, I'd say my tip is just try a physical activity and just for a little bit, something new, and then, like, eating-wise, just, like you said, baby steps, you know. I'm a big fan, you know, nothing to say anything bad about intermittent fasting or keto or anything. But I do like plans that are more lifestyle-based. I feel like Weight Watchers and other plans are like that.
Because you use the points and everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're at a party and there's all this food, well, you're not, like, you can't eat it. You
yes.
just, mm-hmm. you have to kind of manage mm-hmm. what you eat. So
exactly. And that's yeah. my preference. And I know some people can't handle that, but that's my preference. Mm-hmm. And calorie counting the same. I think, me as a behavior analyst, I think life, if you take it more lifestyle. Like you said, mm-hmm. when you're at a party, you can participate. When you go out with friends, you can participate.
Yeah.
So I think that's more sustainable personally. Yeah. But again, like,
it helps if you're social, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So that's what I would say. I know that's more than one thing, but just a few tidbits.
Yeah. Cool. And where can we find out more about you and, you know, learning more about behavior analysts
yeah.
and everything?
Well, I have an email. I would tell Nicole I'm a little old school. I don't have a website yet.
But yeah, Facebook page, too.
Yes,
right?
yes. I have a Facebook
called,
and Instagram.
What is it called again?
It's Constructing.
Constructing Dreams.
Yeah, so yes. you search constructing.dreams _. And I have a Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. Then old school email.
Yeah, what's your email?
It's Jess, Jess, Winnie, Winne, 88 at gmail.com. So I love to talk to people and network. And, I mean, we've never met in person until now,
yeah.
but I've been following your shop and buying from your shop for, like, 2 years now. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I love to just make connections and meet people and talk about goals.
Yes, and it's always good to have those networks and everything.
Yes, definitely.
And
it's definitely.
Good to kind of learn from each other and mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. just like learn and grow.
Yeah, you're going to teach me to like flying.
I love flying. I can persuade.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll see y'all next time.